Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neal and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Wow, what a show we have for you today. We've been making these plans for days, and it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, we have a whole lineup of guests we brought over from the other side.
Oh, yeah.
Dean Martin is here.
Why has Dean Martin been coming up? Dean Martin has been coming up. Have you noticed that?
Well, we just saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
We did see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Dean Martin's mentioned in that.
Yeah, but it came up in there were other references.
Well, a lot of people don't know. It's sad, but a lot of people don't know who the major stars were.
They were
he
was the Rat
and
Pack.
50s and 60s.
A Rat Pack member, Dean Martin, right?
Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, Peter Lawford, Sammy Davis Jr., on the side was Joy Bishop.
Yeah,
like
it wasn't
that.
Isn't Sammy Davis Jr., wasn't he a Luciferian? He was.
Well,
he was Satanist. Anyway, but,
Bojangles.
Different separate. Bojangles, is that a character he played?
That was a song he did.
Oh, Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles. Yeah, a lot
but
of people
actually,
have done that song.
He was a very, very talented little boy, like Michael Jackson. He was very talented. And it's known that he had a very high IQ, Sammy Davis Jr.
Kind of
People don't realize about the IQs of people. Tina Louise from Gilligan's Island had a high IQ. Jim Mansfield was supposed to have
a very high IQ. She had a tragic death.
Yeah, she was in a car crash, decapitated.
Oh,
but
horrible
karma. So when we talk about forgotten stars, but, what I want to kind of also emphasize, since we're a day away from Thanksgiving.
Which we'll get into after I get into, letting everybody know how to call us. But go ahead. You can do a preface.
Not that I want to finish the holiday, but I do want to put a message that anybody who can create a meal without killing a turkey or, let's hear it for vegetarian Thanksgiving.
I think we got one. We got we got one from someone who I don't even think she listens to our show. She's done reading in the
people
past.
Aren't
she's connected.
People,
because they're, yeah.
Well, let's remember Thanksgiving. I mean, let's not forget the devastation that the programs committed against the Indians. There was a tribe that begins with
the Native Americans.
Terrible, terrible things that they did. Claiming right to their property and land, not only mentioning splitting.
She was
disease.
My master number. Jane Mansfield was a 30 equals 3, just like me.
Yeah. Well, she was
both geniuses. Both 30 equals 3. I'm not a platinum blonde, but I have been a platinum blonde in the past. I have been a blonde.
Well, Jeremy, I mean,
different experience being a blonde.
She,
I'll tell you,
she got a pretty bad rap. I mean, the movie they put her as a sex goddess.
Well, she was beautiful.
Jane Mansfield. There's a very famous photograph of
Sophia Loren.
Yeah,
and
Sophia
Loren, and she's. Giving her the,
image.
I mean, she's
staring at her, and he was scared.
It's a dirty look for sure.
Yeah.
But
you know, she starred in a couple of movies, but they were all mediocre films.
This cleavage trend has continued to go. Go ahead. Sorry.
There was one murder movie she was in. What's the name of it?
My goodness.
Yeah.
She certainly showed a lot. Well, this has continued. I mean, this cleavage thing, which I'm not a proponent of. I mean, I've, you know, worn things that were low cut in the past, but this trend of like having these gowns that are cut to the navel, I don't get it. I mean, to me, it's totally unappealing and leaves nothing to the imagination. But anyway.
Well, it leaves a lot to contemplating.
No one will get that.
Yeah. But, you know, I do want to just put out that maybe it's too late, but our show's a day away from Thanksgiving. You know, save a turkey life.
Yeah,
eat a veggie roll or something, or
there's lots of things that, I mean, you know, obviously you can make things from vegetables. There are a lot of dishes online that you can look up vegetarian Thanksgiving. You can do like a bowl with roasted vegetables, mashed potatoes. You can make them vegan if you use the vegan butter. Not only that, but I've seen a lot of gruesome images of dead turkeys, you know, wrapped up, ready to be put into the oven on Facebook. So we've hidden some people because I just think that's disgusting. I don't want to look at that. And like I've said in the past, my foray into vegetarian began when I was 19. And I've been on and off vegetarian since then, being in a world that was deeply in the restaurant industry makes it difficult if you're a wine drinker and you are someone who is into food and dines out a lot, makes it difficult to avoid meat. It is possible, but you know what sometimes happens is you fall into that trap.
Yeah.
And you know, I've fallen out of the trap and been vegetarian for going on 9 years now.
Yeah.
Consistently. With a few fish. I think I've eaten fish a few times. But I mean, at this point, God, I think it's been quite a while since I've even eaten fish. I just, it's so, you know that these animals have feelings and that they're intelligent, and to eat flesh is just, is gross.
We've talked a lot about it on assorted shows, but anyways, hopefully somebody might get the message and save a turkey this year.
Yeah. So
and support Farm Sanctuary. There's many different animal groups out there that defend wildlife and save wildlife, but you know, think about it. You know, it will mean a lot to those.
Yeah, deal specifically with Animal Watered. Obviously, there are other organizations we support, like Wildlife SOS. They rescue elephants. Different organization, great organization, but Farm Sanctuary specifically deals with animals that have been saved from slaughter. So they're like pigs, sheep that they have on their farms, turkeys, animals like that.
I remember it was back in the early 70s. I was animal organizations. There was one called it was Bilton. Is it Bilton or something like that?
Headed.
He was the head of the organization. And then I was devastated because he had misused the funds.
Oh no!
But I was never dissuaded from
contributing in the future.
But I've been doing it since about 1970, around 70, 69, 70.
That's
so anyways,
great.
Think about it. And also, you know, be aware that this Thanksgiving, about thanks, we've gotten away from the idea of the pilgrims and what they did when they landed.
So before we Can I just tell people how to get a hold of us, please, and how to follow us just real quick? 914-338-0164 is the call in number. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. You may follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile. I've not been posting on Twitter until recently because I've had to use a different browser, and I don't know what. I didn't put in the sign-in details, so I had to go find those. But I do want to say something funny. Before we get into the Plymouth Rock conversation. So, you know, dreams. How do we prepare ourselves at night for dreams? I have been having some unpleasant experiences at night. So I've been asking Neil, and I think he gets distracted throughout the day, because I've had difficulty on my own trying to extract myself from these dreams that have not been what I want to, you know, these journeys that I don't want to be experiencing at night. I want to be going to higher realms, etc. So last night, people remember. So last night I said, well, I guess you're not going to give me an answer. I've asked you. I said, is there, you know, what can I do in this moment to prepare myself for bed and my dream state? And Neil says, think of someone who died. and then suddenly goes, what did I just say?
What's happened to me?
You were so don't do readings with us when Neil is half asleep, because you're not going to get a good answer. Think of someone who died. Just the perfect launch off to a
well, you know, maybe
pleasant dream state.
Maybe
I was like, I was confounded. I sat there and I said, huh? What? Think of someone. And then I realized, of course, that you were asleep.
But you know what makes sense?
You can make sense out of anything.
It can put you to sleep. You count sheep, so we count sheep. At the Academy Awards, they always remember the people who had died that year. But when your mind is set to trying to remember faces, famous people or whoever that have passed away, it could end up putting you to sleep. So maybe that's where I was going.
I don't know.
And then maybe if you might have had, who knows? Maybe I was. There was a subtle suggestion there. You would encounter Marilyn Monroe in the astral realm.
Jane Fonda is not dead yet.
Jane Fonda.
And he looks like he's 30 years old.
Peter Fonda. Maybe Henry Fonda.
Who knows? Maybe Kirk Douglas.
Zazu Pitts.
Yeah.
Natalie
Wood.
Yeah, Natalie Wood.
People directly related to us.
You know,
past life level.
I've often wondered at any given time around the world when a famous person's mentioned at a precise second, how many people around the world have mentioned that person's name in that second? Like when we just said Natalie Wood, how many people do you think have mentioned Natalie Wood in the very second when we said it? You know, tabulate it. Bring in your results. We'd like to hear what you've come up with. But when the idea is that we are linking, I would sometimes would help me put to sleep, to tell you the truth, and I hate to say this, but I would sometimes imagine myself with a rifle, and I'm like a cowboy, and caught by the Indians.
Can't believe you did this.
I kind of thought of myself as being on this mountain shooting people. And you know, all my enemies. And every time I had this dream, I mean, I was, you know, aiming the thing and everything, I would end up falling asleep. But from there, I don't know why I went there. Maybe I was getting out some hostile aggression.
Well, you'd still do it.
I mean, I sleep with a gun.
No, you don't.
But,
we don't own firearms.
No. But,
I probably shouldn't say that on the radio.
Is that wrong? that exercise or that mental exercise before going to sleep, I always would find myself going through a portal into the astral realm and having all kinds of experiences in my dream world. My dreams are, I'm floating around, I'm flying, I'm in different places, I'm talking to people I've never seen before.
Yeah, and constantly, that's my experience as well.
Yeah, a lot of people have that. The astral realm, the best way to get there is through sleep. So, you know, your request was not undermined by my inappropriate answer.
It was an inappropriate answer.
I was probably...
Yeah.
What?
And I was thinking, well, in that brief moment between the time that you said, you gave me your answer and the time you said, what did I just say? I was thinking, is this supposed to be someone from my past, which definitely isn't an area I want to go into? Or, you know, I didn't know what you were alluding to. I was completely confused. And I thought, how is thinking of someone dying going to put me into any pleasant state of mind?
My friend was Abraham Lincoln, and she had a photograph of him, a famous photograph of him, a profile of his. And she swore that it was taken, you know, that she had had it through the family, and it was a real photograph, and somebody in the family took the photograph. Anyway, she had this photograph of Abraham Lincoln. And so I started to imagine, when I was a child, Abraham Lincoln, before I go to bed, Abraham Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, Abraham. And lo and behold, I fell asleep one night and had a dream that I actually encountered Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
And you know what he said to me as his own?
What?
Hi, how you doing? Hi, how you doing? And we had a conversation. What's weird is this. Now, this is weird. He told me when I was a little boy that he was going to hunt vampires. And I said, what? Vampires. We jumped forward in time. There was a movie that came out, Abraham the Vampire Hunter. I couldn't let Abraham Lincoln know that there was going to be a movie or, you know, hunting vampires. I guess he did. Because he was, you know, he was in a whole different realm. The other thing interesting about him, that when I encountered him, he was playing chess. When he was playing chess, he was playing himself. Opposite him was a chair. And I remember saying to him, who are you playing with? And he said, I love to play with myself. He got up and looked at the other chair. Maybe that's why he was so tall. But, you know, the idea that we can have all kinds of crazy dreams. I'd love to hear you.
I most recent encounter I had with a famous person who has crossed in a dream was Robin Williams, and I talked about it on the show, where he was had those, they're plastic bottles with, like, you know, the lid that's open. You put, like, put ketchup in them, but they're like oval.
Yeah.
Plastic bottles, like you find at a maybe Indian restaurant filled with chutney, or at a Mexican restaurant filled with salsa, hot sauce. Probably salsa wouldn't work with it because there's chunky things in there. But anyway, like a smooth hot sauce. And he was squirting bottles at me, squirting me. Not a pleasant dream.
Are you sure those were bottles he was squirting?
Maybe they were symbolizing something else. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. The way you're describing these bottles.
Well, it was strange.
Well, you know, the only thing that I could, maybe it was champagne.
Oh.
You know, but Robin Williams may have slipped into a limbo world.
Well, yeah, and who knows about really the way that he died. I mean,
well, that place is crazy. The limbo media astral realm where suicide been murdered or died tragically.
Been murdered, which I think that he was killed. I don't think that he committed suicide. I really don't.
Oh, man, that realm is really a trip to go through.
So,
I mean, you meet these people, you talk to them. When you're in the astral realm, you know where you're going. But a lot of them, that's where they go. They get stuck in that energy field.
My interpretation of the dream, and I think yours on the show, was that it was someone impersonating Robin Williams. I don't really think that it was him that I encountered.
No, it wasn't Robin Williams.
I don't think it was. But it was definitely a spirit or an energy of someone who had crossed before doing some kind of impersonation. We have a caller, though.
Okay.
So we'll stop on the hot sauce. Huh?
Maybe it was Robin Hood.
Maybe. Okay. We're getting them on them. I always use that pronoun if it's not right. Hi.
Hello.
Prisoner Sue.
Hi. Yes. It's Sue.
Hi.
It's been a while since I've talked
to
you.
Hi, Sue. Hi. Hi. Hey.
Well, I was just calling to tell you, last night I had a dream. I woke up, and I don't remember the dream, but I woke up with such elation that I passed something, but I don't know what I passed. Some kind of.
Oh, test. No. Isn't that frustrating when you can't recall the key parts of the dream?
No, and I've got the energy. I had the energy, you know, and it was like, oh, I'm so excited. But then it's like, what am I excited about?
I had a dream once. I had a dream once where I didn't remember the dream, actually. But what happened was I was late for school, high school. My best friend would drive me to school. And she had to knock on my window. I was in the downstairs bedroom in my home. And she had to knock on my window. And I woke up, and I must have been still in the dream state. And I said, guess what? She's like, what? And I said, I got a new watch. And then suddenly woke up. Which, you know, I didn't get a new watch, but it alleviated her irritation with me at the moment for being so late.
Oh.
And then I proceeded to school and like really, I don't think it was my pajamas, but got dressed very quickly in scummy clothes. Anyway, but I had that kind of elation too, but it was really misplaced. What's your birthday? Give us your birthday.
It's 10-1-1956. I'm a 5.
Well, you're more than that. 12, you're 23-5. What happened when you were 23, by the way? I'm sure we've talked about that on the air before.
Wait a minute. Wow.
22-4.
She's a
20. What
age?
12.
10-12. No, she's
a
23-5.
10-1-56.
No.
Oh, 56.
She's a 23-5.
56.
Oh, 56.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened when
I was going to say, you guys have been cutting in and out on Blog Talk, and I noticed on the phone it's been doing that too. So
really?
I don't know what's going on in your area.
Oh,
boy. 23 was probably the awakening of that I shouldn't be married and I needed to probably get out of my marriage. And I think that was the year maybe 5 times I tried to leave.
Okay. 5 times you tried to leave. Interesting. So
yeah.
5 times.
Yeah.
Your master number is 5. Tried to leave 5 times. That's important. Okay. But anyway, I know you're not calling about that today, but just wanted to kind of history again.
Yeah, I was curious. You guys said you had a lot of people there. I was going to say this morning, I woke up and I have a friend that passed away that I did a lot of research with in the way of the Pawnee Star map and Black Hills and stuff. And I kept thinking of her this morning. Every time I thought about her, I was drying my hair, and the electric plug, you know, the plug-in kept falling out. So it's like, okay, is she trying to get my attention? So I didn't know if maybe that's in the conversation, or she's around me right now and trying to get my attention for something.
And you were involved in what with her, did you say? Black Hills?
We were doing research on the Pawnee Star Map and the Lakota and their traditions and beliefs in the regards to, like, where the stars touch down and the energy that is at those points, and how, you know, the warriors or the medicine people would go to these certain points. And they mapped out, I think they laid trees in each one of these places to represent those connections. So we were up in the Black Hills doing a lot of research up there, which was brand new to me. I'd never experienced anything like that.
Interesting. And do you have her birth date?
No, I do not. She's long passed away.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I didn't know she was on the other side trying to make connection with me about something.
What were you using?
My hair dryer. I was blow drying my hair, and every time I would really think about her and, you know, her age, and, you know, the thing would pop out of the wall. You know, electricity would pop out the plug.
Spirits will activate a lot in regards to electricity, but she was, I think there could have been a possibility that her spirit could have been interacting with you, but the element most concerning would be the element of wind. So if we look at wind, land, air, you mm-hmm. have to look up in the Indian tribal lore how they regarded wind.
Well, I hear your city.
Oh, I know. This last week has been so intense with them. They have been just glued to me. And it's like, okay, what is happening that, you know, I say needy. It just needs attention, needs love, you know. And meows like no other. This whole last week has been really intense. Now, I don't
know. Yeah.
But
oh, no.
My other half can't handle
it. Ours too. She's once constant we're really bonded with her. So anyway,
this is my male cat too, and Merlin, he's just, oh my gosh, Merlin and Maya. Merlin's very talkative.
Oh yeah, ours we have a single single cat home. We only got one. Mm-hmm. So but she's a darling. She's really sweet. You know, I was getting stupid. I feel stupid saying this. Flowers, pansies for some reason. When you did, when you were in the Black Hills, anything between the two of you regarding flowers?
No, but she made a birthday cake or graduation cake for one of my girls that had real pansies on it. She decorated it with that. So
she made a birthday cake for your daughter that had pansies on it.
Yeah, she was growing pansies and she put them on there. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a definite connection.
Interesting.
I can't believe it. I'm shocked.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
I know exactly when you said that, yes.
Okay, so she's communicating with us.
Probably.
Obviously.
Between the flowers and the wind.
Well, the pansies specifically.
In Indian lore, there's the wind walkers.
Wind talkers.
And what do you know about that? Because that's the message she was trying to get. That might be the where she's connecting with the flowers from family energy, but then the wind talkers. Give us a little bit of information about your knowledge of that.
It was a code, basically. I mean, they used the wind talkers in World War II, is what I remember, but it wasn't just that. It was language. It was connecting, I think, with spirit. and listening to spirit.
Well, that's why she was pulling the cord of the, your hair dryer, your hair blower.
How did she cross? This is somewhat.
Her son had died of a bone cancer, and I know before he got really bad, she tried to get spirit to give it to her and let him live. And then about a year and a half, 2 years later, she ended up, and it metastasized in her lungs.
Oh, see, I was getting something in the heart. So that's the same chakra. Mm-hmm. I'm off on the organs, lungs and
right.
heart, now, fourth chakra. So
now,
So related.
So to me, I'm thinking she's trying to get my attention, that it's time to listen more to spirit, that they're trying to get a hold of me or communicate with me, which I know that is happening. Life working takes.
Do you keep a journal at all?
I have multiple sheets of papers and files on the system, on my computer system, of the meditations and the dreams that I get, that I do remember in dream state. I have a ton of those.
You have a ton of those. Do you think anything would come to at least, you'd have 17 pages?
Oh, God, yes. I have more than that.
Okay, you got to go to one on the 17th page.
And
so you got to go to the 17th page and look for a message, sir.
Okay.
I don't know which file it would be on, but you can explore that.
Could it be 2017? Because I think there were a lot more.
Well, I mean, maybe, but go to the 17th page.
Okay.
And anyone in your life with the name Mary or Marianne or Marilyn?
Okay. So her name was Miranda.
Oh, that's probably why.
So
her name was.
So I think she's communicating. But as far as the hair blower thing, you know, that whole thing, and then the wind talkers, you go to the 17th page of any given year or file, and you look, there's a message she wants to talk to you about. And it has a little bit to do with, rocks.
You know, what's interesting is wind talkers, but what we got recently in the mail is a dream catcher. That's Native American. So that kind of connects too. Yeah. A dream catcher.
Do you have any rocks? Do you own rocks?
I have lots of rocks. Yes.
Like crystals? Are you a crystal collector?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Lately, I've noticed too, I've been collecting, what do you want to call it? More spheres. And I've got one on order. I'm trying to save some money to get.
You know, I have a great source for the most amazing crystals, and they're so reasonably priced on eBay. I will email you that link to their site. I mean, you're going to be amazed at the diversity of the crystals and how inexpensive they are. That's how I built my collection. I haven't ordered in years,
I just received something I ordered from Australia that the night I came across it, it was like, you have to get this. No matter what it costs, you have to get it. So it just arrived 2 days ago. It is she called it a wand. It's a shaman tool. And it's got beautiful peacock feathers on it, white feathers, which I work with a lot of white animal energy, and a white selenite spiral on the end. It's the most beautiful thing I have ever gotten. I'm wondering if it triggered something when I got it, because I have not stopped thinking of her since that has come in.
Well, you know,
I can send you a picture of it. I'll put it on Facebook.
She's in the astral realm, and there seems to be a direct link of expression or communication she's having with you. One may be just that she wants to connect because her energies has, it's available to you. So there mm-hmm. might be that part. There might just be the pure notion of just trying to connect and embrace you. But there's probably a message somewhere behind there. Have you recently lost anything or misplaced anything?
Oh, I'm always misplacing and losing things. And they just show up out of the blue. The last one was my pendulum. I had a pendulum. I could not find it anywhere. And I had just used it in the morning. And so I just kind of said, okay, universe, where is it? You know, I give up. Let me think. Well, it was sitting on the dresser next to me. And I never saw it. It was not there. And it's like, okay, somebody's playing.
How do you spell her name?
Miranda. It was
M-I-R-A-N-D-A.
Her real name was Paula, but she was told to take Miranda on this plane. So she went by Miranda.
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, when you called, I thought I was joking to myself, but I heard the name Peggy Sue, and I was thinking about Rick Nelson, because your name is Sue.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you say Paula, I don't know. She's there might be some deeper level of communication that's going on aside from just making these connections. You're involved in white
no.
animals.
Yeah. Peggy Sue, I had a boss who always called me Peggy Sue.
Well, it's not surprising given the fact that,
yeah.
you know, that would be a natural nickname.
Well, it could be. Legal.
But you're, yeah, I mean,
it could
be psychic.
Legal. Anyway, did you ever know anyone who worked for the telephone company or communications or anything like that?
Yes.
And who was that?
I had a friend that years ago she worked for the phone company, and she used to talk about it. Her name is Brenda.
Oh, okay. Well, we're having communication with Miranda because –
okay.
I asked Miranda to just start giving me information, and through vibrational conversation, she said, ask her about who worked for the phone company. So that's what prompted me to ask you.
Okay, and Brenda is a psychic also, so she must be connecting to her too.
Yeah, so there's a link going on there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So we have, right now, as we speak, we have a triad, a female triad. And what you should probably do is find three female spiritual figures at random. Find three female spiritual figures that have crossed over and put your pendulum, you know, put their names
okay.
on a piece of paper in the form
right.
of a triangle.
Right.
And then put
okay.
your pendulum over that. And see what kind of vibration you get with any random question you may ask.
Okay. I will do that.
On another topic, how's everything with your partner? I know last time on the show, we kind of got into that, and he was upset because the sports season had been canceled. Of course, sports are back on.
Well, somewhat.
Somewhat.
No, he's doing better. So, and it's interesting. This has opened his eyes to a lot of things that are more transparent for him than they were before. So, you know, he's awakening, but, you know, he's not taking leaps and bounds like I want to. But, you know, that is how he learns on this plane, on this life, you know. So he's doing better, much better.
Good.
But, it took him having no sports to realize something's quite not right, you know, with the system and stuff. And it's like, yeah, no, what do you do with it? You know, I don't know. He just, you know, he's basically turned off the news, and he watched what little golf shows show up. You know,
yeah.
He's a little bit easier to live with.
Yeah, I Dr. Knight Neil came up and was, I had the football game on. I have no idea who was playing. It was just I got distracted and was doing something else, so that's why it was on Neil's watching the game. But of course they have no live audience. It's so weird. I mean, there's no one in the stands.
That's what he says.
It's just bizarre. So anyway, well, glad he's doing better, and glad we were able to make a connection. I emailed you, Sue, and it's funny. I went to the site, the eBay site, and there are some very expensive items on there. I mean, I looked at a crystal that was like over $600, but many of the crystals are like 11. You know, they have auctions. And so they're, you know, between $11 and $20, and you get some beautiful pieces. I mean, so I don't know if you're in a shopping mood. Take a look.
Is there anything
I'll send you a picture. I will send you my picture of what I call my shaman stick.
Okay.
I'll send it to you on Facebook.
Perfect.
So you can see what it, because it is beautiful. No, I don't have anything else. I just wanted to connect today. You guys were talking about spirits visiting, and I'm like, yeah, I think I've been having that.
Yeah.
Real briefly, what white animal do you connect to?
What white animal?
Yeah.
It is the jaguar, a white jaguar.
Oh.
And then I've had experiences with the white buffalo. In real life, when I was out on my awakening journey, as you would call it, my first run to the Black Hills, we were led by spirit by 13 golden eagles, and ended up in with a person or a couple that owned a white buffalo, and it was just like, wow, you know.
Interesting. So it ties back into the Black Hills.
Right. No, when I first started to meditate, I would have problems, and I had no idea what white animals were at that time. And I would call it a white polar bear. It wasn't a white bear, it was a white polar bear that would, when I was having problems trying to get out of the physical, it would come down with its big paw and just pull me up. With a whoosh, you know. And so I would have different animals show up. Well, it wasn't until I went to the Black Hills and started this journey that I started having flashbacks or memories of being what they would call the white medicine women. It was like a grandmother tribe. And it was I picked up on it when I was there, let's just say that. So I've been kind of partial to white animals. And when I do meditation, certain ones will show up. If I'm trying to help somebody out energetically, I'll see one show up and I'll just kind of, you know, send it on that direction. You know, there's something that white, and I don't know, you know, what each animal means, you know. I just see it here and there. Well, now you're dropping crystals on the floor.
Don't
be doing that.
Oh, no.
They can't be away from me. They're standing behind me in my window where I have crystals. So that's the one. I mean, I'm partial to the jaguar, but a white jaguar.
Well, when
not
you
a
say
black
that,
one.
You know, when you say that, actually, Mel Gibson directed a really fabulous movie called, I think it was called Apocalypto or something like that.
You know, I have never, ever seen that. I have to go rent that.
Yeah, rent it. It's very violent, but. I mean, it's appropriately violent according to the premise, but the jaguar is a very strong symbol in the movie with one character, and it's really a monumental film. It's really quite amazing. But take a look at it. You know, content has a violence in it.
I think that's why I've never watched it, was because I had heard it was violent. Now, see, my connection to the white jaguar was from, I was doing research down in Mexico with some of the different complexes down there, like Palenque and Teotihuacan with her. And again, where the stars, the certain planets and stars touch the different, and how they built these complexes touching, you know, the Temple of Venus and whatnot. And that's where I connected with that down there. So it, and I think I was probably had a few past lives in that area, because it's just like coming home when I go down to Mexico.
Well, you know, we lock it into night travels and night dreams, and jaguars are spirits mm-hmm. of the night.
Yeah, which is kind of how we started off the show anyway. Interesting. Full circle.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
there you go.
So the, you know, when we look at jaguars and we think about spirits of the night, or we think about white clouds in the night cast by the moon's glow, there might be some message in there regarding, you know, when you have jaguar, you can have Mexico or you can have the Amazon. Usually black mm-hmm. jaguars are in the Amazon.
Yeah.
But
right.
But here again, Sue, there I think there are some awaiting messages for you, but hopefully we've opened up the door a little bit to give you
door.
Some direction.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'll work with the wind talkers and do some, you know, meditations on that and see what comes through.
Great. Well, thanks for connecting
okay.
with us. Hope you have a great
yes.
holiday.
Thanks for spending time with me. You have a great holiday too, guys. Talk
thanks.
To you soon. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, funny, I mentioned Full Circle because also a place called Full Circle Farm Sanctuary, which rescues animals as well. So I want to mention them because I know they're a good charity to donate to. But we were talking about, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which you just watched. I mean, you mentioned
yeah.
that. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So, of course, we're always late watching movies because
we don't go
to the
theater.
But now no one goes to the theater. So the whole landscape of how movies are released has changed. And I think that there's going to be more movies released for online viewing rather than theater viewing. But anyway, this was a movie that was released in the theater and we finally watched it. I, you know, my expectation was not high because Quentin Tarantino films, I like them, but they're just very violent. And so sometimes I think it's over the top, gratuitous violence, unnecessary. And, you know, there's obviously he uses the N-word profusely in his movies. This didn't include that, thank goodness. But you know, there was that movie. What was that movie? The slavery one.
Oh yeah.
Which was like, you know, it was, and people complained. I believe Spike Lee said, you know, he treats the days where African Americans were enslaved as like a spaghetti Western, and this is really not how it should be represented, and so on and so forth. But this movie really I liked, and it was because of the ending particularly. And
yeah,
I thought it was very creative what he did with the ending, and it made me happy.
He turned it into kind of a fair. I was most impressed with the beginning more than the ending.
Well,
but
I didn't
kind of have a grand finale,
but he knew that he did already.
No, you don't need
I mean
to
because if people haven't. Well, it's been out for a year, but I mean, he rewrote. Essentially, he rewrote history. That's all I'll say. And I think that was the most outstanding thing in the movie that, you know, that captured my. I mean, it just. He transformed a tragedy into something that wasn't.
Well, he
so
he,
I thought it was very creative.
The Western, where the you know the gunslinger,
right.
the Magnificent Seven comes in and saves the town from the villains.
Right.
So he re-envisions that, and he has a glorious idea about that. I thought his masterpiece was Pulp Fiction, which really was significant when Reservoir Dogs came out. It was outstanding in terms of the impact it made. And then, of course, he went on to do Inglourious Basterds and Kill Bill and things like
that. I
didn't
like that one.
You're thinking of the Western with the black actor. But he glorified black psyche in terms of making the black actor the star of the film, just as he did in Jackie Brown, where he put a black actress in the phenomenal
title
role. So I don't know. He's an artist. He's entitled to give his vision without overly being criticized.
I totally disagree with you. If you're an artist, you are subjecting yourself to criticism. So anyone who puts their art out in a public forum is going to be criticized. So an artist does not have to not be criticized. You're subjecting yourself to criticism.
He has a right
criticism.
To express himself without being stereotyped or...
Well, he can
be
stereotyped.
Of...
I mean, that's part of what, and some people will disagree with those stereotypes. But of course, stereotypes are going to be applied. Anybody putting their art on public display is subject to criticism, and that is just part and parcel of being an artist.
Well,
period.
Know, I mean, I remember going to movies with black actors in it. I think I was one of the only ones in my generation who saw The Learning Tree, which was a good movie. Defiant Ones. There's been some Lilies of the Field. I mean, that we've had some wonderful, even though it was sanitized by white directors, we've had some, well, actually, The Learning Tree was directed by a famous black photographer who, his name escapes me right now, but he's so famous, and I know his name if I heard it. But he directed a movie called The Learning Tree, which was based on his story. And that was a pretty big film. Even when we get To Kill a Mockingbird, I had the honor in the movie. And one of my favorite actors, I followed his career, was Woody Strode, who was the guy that fought was in Spartacus. I actually got to meet him. Great stuntman, Henry Kinji, was once a client who was a stuntman, famous stuntman, black Indian stuntman, did some wonderful work, very famous in his field. But, when we get into that element of energy, even in The Dirty Dozen, Jim Brown became a big black star. There's so many wonderful black actors that have been in movies that we tend to neglect that portion where there was rather significance in the energy field of that. Home of the Brave was about a black soldier. Was Lloyd Bridges, I forget who played the black actor. But again, they were few and far between. There weren't many films like that around. But nonetheless, I don't know.
Quarantino. We both went the same place. What's funny about that is that he has such an effeminate presence. I know he's heterosexual, but he seems gay to me.
No, he's Quarantino. A sly manner, but. My point was I don't really get following a certain genre. I'm into Westerns and this certain format, into multi-level storylines and jumping around in time. He experiments with a lot of things in his movies. But he does love the old movies. He alludes to them constantly. Wonderful allusions he has in his movies. And he really, in a way, he's uplifted traditional filmmaking because he really is a traditionalist in many ways, even though he follows some of the more advanced forms that broke through a lot with a lot of the forms of advanced forms of filmmaking in terms of the format. But he does have a certain traditional outlook, if you will, in terms of some of his themes.
Yes.
They are kind of and you know, he used Brad Pitt also in Inglourious Basterds, so he's used Brad Pitt quite a in at least two movies that I know of. Brad Pitt was Thelma and Louise. That's where he made his first entrance into film significantly. But well, we're, you know, we're getting off
we're,
the topic.
We're getting off the topic, and we're absolutely running out of time. Yeah. So Thanksgiving. Well, yeah. It's the holiday coming up. We hope that, you know, the true meaning of Thanksgiving can be what's the prime focus of your celebration this season. And, you know, again, save a turkey, save a duck, save a goose, save a pig.
Chicken.
They do turducken, which is disgusting. Anyway, you know, there's a big push for buying Black Friday, Cyber Monday. I'm getting all these emails. It's driving me nuts. And I'm not buying anything this holiday season. So, you know, I'm doing a boycott of Black Friday, which maybe can help others. I mean, not my boycott, but the idea of boycotting can help enhance the idea of this being a true Thanksgiving rather than a buying frenzy and an eating frenzy at the expense of precious animals. So,
yeah.
All right, we're back on the air next Wednesday. We got a week off, yay. And we'll be back with you next Wednesday, and hopefully we will hear from some of you then. Have a great holiday weekend, everyone. Bye-bye.